Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. I was in England speaking at the last World Conference for Apostolic Churches, and I was actually the keynote speaker for the Apostolic World Conference. And interesting, the Lord told me to go to this conference of all the big wigs, and we have churches in over 95 nations and 70 million members in our church worldwide. It's a big group of people. So the keynote speaker for the conference for these 70 million people was me right here out of little old London. And the Lord told me to tell them that don't exchange your gold for bronze. So I was there and I said, don't exchange your gold for bronze. And you remember when the king had the gold shields and everything in the temple were all stolen and he made bronze ones in its place? You know, and sometimes I just felt, and here I am, I felt, Lord, this could be a bit offensive. I'm talking to world leaders of organizations and things, and I'm basically telling them that you need to get your gold back, that you've allowed the glory, the golden glory of God that is the most important thing, you've allowed that to dissipate, and the evidence of his presence is dissipated, and he wants you now, right now, to repent of exchanging the bronze, repent of being satisfied with the bronze, and he wants the evidence of the gold to be restored to his church. And so that was fun. So they all kind of looked at me funny, like, you got any leadership principles to add to that? And I'm like, yeah, get whacked in the Holy Ghost, you know. And but in that, then all of a sudden I had a word of knowledge. I went, there's someone here who's had mild strokes. You've had these little mild strokes behind your eye. Behind your eye, it's caused problems with your vision. And it's just these mild little strokes, but the Lord's healing your sight right now. And bang, lady was totally healed. And then there was another person. I said, there's somebody here, and you've got bone on bone. You've had an injury in your leg. I believe it was an ACL, and you've got cartilage damage. But you used to play professional soccer, and now you can't run, and that freaks you out. And I'm just, it's just, you start going, you just let it flow. And I'm like, my God, I'm way in deep. And the guy got up and said, that's me, you know. And I was just thinking of that when Nung said that, you know, because the next day he was running around the campus. And then and the day after that, he was playing soccer with the pastors. And the guy was totally healed. Sad thing was, there was a lot of people went, eh, so what? Let's just go back to church as normal, you know. And I was like, ouch. But there were many who said, oh, thank you, thank you. Because our church began in the Welsh Revival, and it was born in fire. Absolute total fire. Fire, fire, fire. And our Riches of Grace magazines were just healings, just testimonies of healings. People, paralyzed people, totally set free, empty wheelchairs, all kinds of things. And here I was at a conference of a church that was born in fire. And there didn't seem to be a lot of evidence of that kind of fire anymore, you know. And we want the fire. Don't you want the fire? It's going to get messy. I just want to tell you, Don't be surprised. You come to church. That was this nice little church. And then things start to get messy. And the presence of God comes. Things can get messy. Did you know the first Pentecostal meeting in Acts chapter 2, the fire of God fell. And the people at 9 o'clock in the morning fell out of that meeting, out down the stairs. And the people looking going, they look like they're drunk. Like, were they all drinking in there? It's 9 in the morning and they're all whacked. I mean, this, what is wrong with these people? There was a manifestation. There was something tangible going on. And they were speaking in other languages that they didn't know. How many think that's pretty crazy? So there was stuff going on. I mean, and so the people were like, hey, what's going on? People all over the town kept running and going, what is this disturbance? What is going on? And Peter, who was the leader at the time, Jesus told him, you'll be the guy. And Peter stood up amongst the whole crowd and he said, this is that. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And you know what? Pentecostal services always need an explanation because it's wacky. And if the service is all explainable, that's just not good, right? We want, because we want God's presence, don't you? I'm going to the house of the living God. What happened? Nothing. I'm going to the house of the living God. What happened? He came. His presence was powerful. And I felt his glory. You felt God at church? You felt God at his house? You felt something? I know Carly invited some of the kids that worked at one of her homes last week. And the two fellows she was saying this week, what'd you think? And they said, it was strange. Like, I felt stuff, you know? I know. Isn't it sad that people feeling stuff at church is strange? I would reckon if you go to church and you don't feel God, that would be odd. How many think if you came to my house for a visit and, you know, I invited you and I wanted you to come and then I never came out of the closet? You know, I mean, I stayed in and I wouldn't even come and say hello. And you're, I went to Carl's house but never saw him. He was hiding somewhere. I don't know. Nothing happened. No manifestation of Carl at all. You know, God is here and he wants you to feel his presence. He wants you to enjoy him. Amen? Amen. So, you know what? We are more concerned that he feel comfortable because it's his house. So it's okay to feel a little uncomfortable in his house. Just say, whack me more, Jesus. Drop kick me through the goalposts of life. And you'll feel at home. Amen. All right, I'm going to quickly just go through something. Say quickly, Pastor. We'll see what we can do. Are you ready? Let's see what I can do in about 15 or 20 minutes. All right. We're just in this series about crossroads and... did you hear about the guy who got hit by a car, so powerfully hit by the car that he went through the passenger window over four lanes of traffic, landed on the grass, and then walked away from the accident? Did you hear about that? That's some crazy stuff. Imagine the velocity that he had to come through that window to go over top of the car that hit him, go over four lanes of traffic on a highway. Imagine the impact that that had to take him through a closed glass window and then send him all the way over four lanes of traffic into the grass. Anyway, that was pretty crazy stuff. And just seeing that and thinking about that as I went through that intersection for the first time in a long, long time, and I thought about, wow, God really took care of me. God somehow just reached in and said, not today. Got things for your life, son, and I got things you want to do. It just made me again kind of soberly look at that thing and say, am I making you happy, big fella? And I know I always make him happy, so it's not a matter of striving to make him happy, because he's nuts about me. He's crazy. He literally is in my face first thing in the morning and says, you awake yet? And I go, oh, I was hoping to get another nap, and there's, come on, I got stuff to do. I'm so happy. I mean, God is crazy about me, but you know, I'm crazy about him too. And I know he loves me, and he'll never change. I couldn't do a single thing to make him love me more, but I want him to be so incredibly pleased with me. I want to hear him at the last day say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I want to please him because he's done so much for me. So it's not about striving. It's not about works, because salvation is because of the finished work of the cross, the grace of God. Nothing you can do about that. But because he so recklessly loved me, I really, really want to love him. And he has set me free, not just to be free, but I'm free to serve him and to lay down my life every day and say, put me on like a garment, wear me around, and do whatever you want with this life. Okay, so there you go. So thinking about that, I thought about, what is that? You know, when people are always like, well, I'm at a crossroads, all these choices, all these decisions. And we in North America got so many choices, so many decisions. Whereas in a lot of places in the world, there's people with this choice. I would choose to eat a meal today. I would choose fresh water for a change. There's people in the world that don't have those kind of choices. You know, I wish my family were around. I wish I didn't have to run and flee my city because, you know, gangs of guns and things chase me out. I wish I didn't have to live in a tent at a refugee place. There's a lot of people don't have a lot of choices. We got a lot of choices. And we in North America, what's your will, Lord? You know, sometimes, boy, we should be over there where it's real simple. Glad I'm breathing again. You know what the will of God is for us? So that, you know, they get blessed, so that they get touched, so that our affluence finds a way to them, so that we ease the pain and the things that are around us, so that we make a difference in the world, because we got the wildest, craziest anointing that ever, ever the world did see on us to change every single thing going on. So what are we doing? I want to please God. I want to do his will. What is God's will for my life? So Ephesians 5, 15 to 17 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, comma, but understand what the Lord's will is. So you can be on one side of the comma or the other. You can be somebody who knows the will of God or someone who doesn't. So knowing the will of God isn't a massive obstacle. It's something we should all know because God is speaking to you every day. And he's speaking your language, and you should know what the will of God is. Now, the amazing reality is our failure to do God's will on our part has no effect on God accomplishing his own will as predetermined in eternity past. God sent his son, God's plan of redemption, God's plan of the cross, God's plan of when he comes again and living with him eternally, God's plan, all of it is going to take place no matter what you do. God is going to fulfill his purpose in the earth. And what you do isn't going to, do anything to that, give or take. If you don't decide to serve and align yourself with God's purpose right now for you, God will find somebody who will. But he wants you, and he wants to use you. He's a user. He wants to use you. God wants to use you. Come on. Jesus did God's will. Jesus said, My food, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. John 17:4, I have glorified you on earth. I have glorified you on earth, Father. I've brought you glory on earth. How did he do that? I finished the work you gave me to do. Are you doing the work he gave you to do? Are you along the line? Have you aligned yourself with his purpose for this day? David said he served the purpose of God in his generation and then he died. What's the purpose of God in your generation? What is God doing right now? What's happening in your neighborhood? What does God want to do in London, on your street, in your community, at your job, at the school where you are? What does God want to do in and through you? We should be aligned with that and we should know it. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Two basic parts to understanding God's will of God that belongs exclusively to him. That's his will. Those are things you'll never change. You can't do anything about. Those are things that he will do and are locked up in his purpose. But then there's the will of God as it relates to mankind. That's your part. And there's choices. There's choices every day to serve the purpose of God. Moral choices, non-moral choices. Now, you can unmistakably know the will of God for your life. That's good. Amen. How many would like to unmistakably be able to say right now, I know with confidence I am right now in the center of God's will for my life? All right, just close your eyes. Don't even look around. Just a little survey for myself. Who would put up their hand right now and say, I have no idea if I'm in the center of his will right now? Put up your hand right now. That's not bad. That's not bad. Say that's probably less than 10%. That's pretty ridiculous. But that's very, very cool. You should know what God's will is. You should be able to say, I feel and I know that right now I am doing and I am tracking with God's purpose for my life. That's a good thing. So we should know that and we should be walking. You can open your eyes now, unless you've fallen off into a heavenly slumber. All right. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Look at that now. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the spirit who is from God that we might know. Say, might know. I might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. See, not only did God freely give us all things, but then he said, I'm going to give you my spirit so that you can know all the things I've freely given you. Woo! I mean, how set up are we for success? How set up are we to manifest the goodness of God? I mean, God is really, really good. 1 Corinthians 2:14, just below it, it says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That means if you're a person who does not know God, does not have his Spirit, has not been born from above and born of God, they can't even get their head around the things of God. Have you had people you've talked to and try to explain to them this journey you're on and how you're experiencing God, and they're looking at you like, what? You know, unless the Spirit of God touches them and moves on them, you cannot know the things of God except the Spirit of God reveals it. But you know, so spiritually dead people can never really be walking in the center of God's will. So you can say, I want to know God's will. I want to walk in his purposes. Well, first thing is you need to be spiritually made alive. John 4:24, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. You are a spirit. You were created as a spirit. You were created to interact with God in your spirit. You are a spirit who has a body, who also
exercises and expresses himself through a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. But you are a spirit. God created you as a spirit being. And he created you as spirit because he is spirit. You're created in his likeness and his image, and you're created to have a relationship with him. But if you're not born again, then you are dead and doomed and dominated by sin and the oppression of sin, and you cannot have a relationship with God because you are spiritually dead. But when you come to Jesus, you are made alive in the Spirit. And God brings you alive and to life so that you can be born again. God's will, first of all, number one, if you're going to be in the center of God's will, number one, and the first one, and you can't bypass this, you must be born again. And none of the rest of this series is going to matter to you if you don't deal with number one, I must be born again. And if you're not born again, you can be born again today. And we're going to pray for you so that you can get yourself in the center of a wonderful heavenly Father who's got incredible purposes and plans for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. So there you are. You got to be born again. But for you to experience this fullness, you must be born again. You must have that relationship with God. We talked about three baptisms last week. Three baptisms. Now, the first is baptized into Christ, which is being born again. It's where the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. He baptizes you into Christ himself. That's being born again. You were born into the body of Christ. So step number one, the first baptism is born again. The second baptism is the baptism in water. We talked about that, and we've got a whole bunch of CDs about baptism in water. They'll be there at the back. If you're not baptized in water, you want to know more about that. It's a fantastic CD. Even if you have been baptized in water, but all you did was get wet. Wow. You need to know the revelation of what happened to you, and you need to walk in the dynamic of it today. Maybe you need to get that as well. All right, so you need to be baptized in water and then the Spirit, baptism in the Spirit. So look at the baptizing process here. Number one, the Spirit baptizes. Whoop, go back to that one. Yep, the Spirit baptizes the believer into Christ. That's number one. Spirit is baptizing the believer into the body of Christ. Number two, a disciple baptizes the believer in water, water baptism. Number three, Jesus baptizes the believer in the Holy Ghost. So there's a three-part initiation for a truly, fully initiated believer. You can be born again just by accepting Jesus, but if you're going to walk in the fullness of God for your life, you need to be baptized in water, and you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You're not going to walk in the fullness. You'll never really realize the fullness of God's will and purpose for your life if you're not properly initiated into the body of Christ. You could live a good life. You could live a moral life. You could do wonderful things. You don't even have to be born again and you could be a good person. But if you want to be hooked up with God, if you want God himself to take up residence in your life and supernaturally express himself in and through you, you must be born again. You must be baptized in water. You must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. These were all commands. They weren't options. The church has turned them into options. And some of the church said they're not even necessary. But that would be gross error, a grammatical error, huge error. Not even it's a theological error, but it's a theological error, not a theological misunderstanding. It's a grammatical error in not understanding simple truth in the word. All right. Well, we talked about that last week, so don't let me digress again. All right. So Jesus followed the process. Jesus was born from above, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Jesus did it because Jesus emptied himself of divinity. He was still God, but he emptied himself as in the privileges of being God. He set aside the God part. He didn't stop being God, but he didn't operate out of the God part. He lived as if he was just like you and just like me. No privileges whatsoever. He set that aside so that he could identify totally with us, so that he would have to know exactly what it was, just like us, to be totally identified with us. So all the Gospels record the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. All the Gospels record the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when God repeats himself four times, you better pay attention. All right? Acts 1, 4 and 5, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. So here's the first church. They're going to start serving his purpose. All right, guys, I'm giving it to you. You now are going to become my representatives in the earth. You're going to disciple the nations. You're going to change the world. You are going to be me. I'm going to put you on and change the world. Now, before you do that, before you do anything, you cannot do this job without being baptized in the Holy Ghost. So the first command of the body of Christ was, don't leave home without the power of the Holy Spirit. And folks, it's to your children and to your children's children and all those who are far off to every generation, you must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It is not an option. All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, and when the Holy Ghost came, boom, it says, you shall receive power. What do we need? We need power. You know, it drives me crazy right now. We say, oh, God, send your power. He sent it 2,000 years ago. We don't need more power. What we need, pastors, we need power. We need revival. We need the Spirit to come. He came. He already came. Everything we need is done. It's finished. You've got everything. The problem now is we got these layers of deception and false teaching and things we need to peel off our eyes and realize, man, it's really this good. Woohoo! He said you're going to receive power. Power to do what? Power. That word, if you look up dunamis, look it up. The Greek word dunamis, what does it mean? It's power to produce. It's inherent power. It's a power that will abide and rest on you. It is an inherent power that abides in you, and it literally produces five things. It produces miracles. It produces movement. It produces multiplication. It produces money. I didn't write this. And morality. It's right there in the Greek dictionary. You can look it up. God chose that word. I will give you power, inherent power, power to produce. Evidence on your life, a demonstration of our union and of our relationship is going to be upon you. You will receive power so that when you go say, Jesus sent me, you can loose the kingdom wherever you are. And you can't just tell history lessons about Jesus. You demonstrate that the same power that was on Jesus is on me right now. And you loose the kingdom of God wherever you go. I mean, what good would it be to say I represent Jesus and then not be able to prove it? Well, you represent Jesus? I read about Jesus. He healed people, walked on water, set people free, taught wonderful stuff, turned water into wine. So he sent you. Yes, can you do any of that stuff? Well, no. And the whole thing is, he didn't just send you to represent him. He sent you with the same power that he walked in so that you can't just talk about him. You can manifest him and all of his purpose and his power. All right, thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah, glory to God. So how do we do this, Pastor? How do I receive the power of the Holy Ghost? Number one, accept the promise of the Holy Ghost. Number two, ask for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Number three, confess that I am baptized in the Holy Ghost. Number four, act on that, loose the kingdom. What do I do now, Pastor? Go pray for sick people. It's really it. That's it right there. I got that's it. That's the whole baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. Now listen. Look here. Now here's another slide. Look at this one. You ready? We are not filled with him like a cup is filled with water. We are not filled with him like a cup is filled with water. It's not like I'm going to take Jesus. Oh, God. We're not filled with him like water gets poured into a cup. Listen, we have the Spirit of God yoked to our very nature. I'm not filled with him like pouring water into a vessel. I was really filled today, not so filled right now. He poured a cup on me yesterday. Are you kidding? I've been so saturated and pickled in the Holy Ghost. Literally, the DNA of God and mine have been melded together. And the very DNA and nature and power, inherent power, character, all of God has been yoked to my very nature. I have a new DNA. We are children of God by the Spirit. He permeates every aspect of my being. I am saturated with the Holy Ghost. Settle down. I know it's exciting. Whose head's spinning just a little? It's good stuff right there. So that's the truth who we are. 1 John 3 verse 9 says, now, no one born of God deliberately, knowingly, or habitually practices sin. No one born of God deliberately, knowingly, or habitually practices sin. Does anybody who knows God actually successfully sins? Does anybody here know God? Did anybody here successfully sin this week? Just maybe told a little lie, got angry with somebody, just a little jealous, coveted somebody else's baby. I do that a lot. But, you know, the thing is we're not talking about you had a little event, a moment. I'm not talking about I broke the speed limit on the way home. Well, that's not sin, Pastor. It says right here, it says, who deliberately, habitually, knowingly practices sin. For God's nature abides in him. His principle of life. Listen to this. I love this translation because the word that's used in the Greek is the sperma of God. I have been imparted into me the sperma of God. God has literally melded his DNA with my DNA, and I am now a child of God. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Permanently. His divine sperm remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sinning because he is born of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right. Quickly, four basic forms of revelation. You ready? Four basic forms of revelation. Number one, the general revelation of nature. Number two, specific revelation. Jesus was the revelation of God. If you wanted to know who God was, look at Jesus. Jesus is perfect theology. Look at Jesus. Number three, spirit revelation. The Holy Ghost will speak to you. The Holy Ghost can talk to you, speak to you in so many fashions. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Not today, later in another day. But then there's biblical revelation. Say, thank God for the Bible. Now, the Bible was written in Hebrew, and it was written in Greek, and Matthew was written in Aramaic. But the Bible is the holy, living Word of God. The Bible is like no other book in the world. The Bible has survived every onslaught you can imagine. The Bible is the most accurate, oldest book of antiquity, and the Bible is so incredibly accurate and is proven over and over and over again to be such a historical, accurate, historical, biblical thing. I mean, it's wonderful, the Word of God. But more than that, the Bible is not just a book. Although it is a book, it is the living, breathing Word of God. Literally, take your Bible and go like this. It's a living Word. You can literally have mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. You can do the Word line upon line. I mean, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is living. The Word of God is substantial. If you start reading this and get it in your life, just like a line of Coke would change your life, a line of the Word of God has the power to totally change your world. You will experience a manifestation when you approach the living book, because this is a living, breathing, powerful document. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, so Luke chapter 6, 43 to 49. I was going to read it all, but I'm not. I'm going to just give you the highlights. You ready? Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't practice what I tell you?" And he says, there are those who are merely hearers of the word, but they don't practice the word. The Bible, the word of God, is a word that we are to read. It is the will of God. This Bible, if you want to know the will of God, this is his living will and testament. If you want to know what God thinks about things, what his will is for you, you can get into the word of God and you can find out who God is and what he thinks about you. That's why we preach it every week. The Word of God. Now listen, he says, but why do I talk to you about the Word and I teach you the Word, but you don't do anything? You don't obey it. You don't honor it. What's the matter with you? He says, he who merely hears the Word and does not practice it, he says, that's like somebody who builds their house in the sand and when the storm comes, it's gone. But the hearers of the Word and the doers of the Word are people who establish their life on a rock, establish their life on a foundation, and then no matter what life comes against them, no matter what life has for them, no matter what any enemy of their soul tries to come at them with, if you are established on the rock, that means you're a hearer and a doer of the Word of God, you shall not be moved. Hallelujah! I'm preaching myself happy. Maybe even a bit loopy. But anyway, let's go. All right, quickly, Pastor. My. All right, now National Geographic. How many watch the National Geographic channel? How many don't have cable? How many don't walk in that kind of grace because you know that God would not let you do cable because he knows you can't handle it? All right, saw that hand. Thank you. All right, National Geographic. Now, this was about the Alaskan bull moose. The Alaskan bull moose. The males of the species battle for dominance during the fall breeding season, literally going head to head with antlers crunching together as they collide. It's so awesome to see it. But this is the Alaskan bull moose. Often the antlers, their only weapon, are broken. And when your antlers are broken, it ensures defeat. The heftiest moose with the largest, strongest antlers triumphs. Survival of the fittest, amen. Aren't you glad you're a Christian and God tolerates every weak little thing in your life? Christians don't believe in survival of the fittest. We believe, oh, God likes all of us miserable people. He does. He does love you, but he wants you to be strong. That's why remember when he took the talents? He had one, he had five, he had ten, or he had one, he had two, he had five. Remember when the one who had one did nothing with it? What a weakling. You know, who got his talent when he did nothing with it? The guy who had 10. God blesses success. Watch the National Geographic Channel. The heftiest moose, the largest, strongest antlers, triumphs. Therefore, the battle is not fought in the spring. It is actually fought in the fall. It's really won there in the summer when the moose eats continually. The one who consumes the best diet for growing antlers and gaining weight will be the heavyweight in the fight. Those who eat inadequately sport weaker antlers, less bulk, and they become the losers. Whoa, what are we talking about that for, Pastor? Because when you are in the Word of God, when you devour the Word of God, when you drink deeply of the Spirit of God and engage the Word of God, you are growing strong. You are building yourself up in your most holy faith. You are growing in your knowledge of God. Therefore, when it comes time to prove yourself strong, you are ready. You are ready in whatever season may come to you. You are ready. Whatever winds blow, you're going to be strong and you're going to stand fast no matter what comes your way. Can I get an amen? All right, here we fly. Say, fly, Pastor. What is the Word of God? What is the Word of God? Here's the definition. The Bible is the inerrant, plenary, inspired, absolute, authoritative word, the will of God. The Bible is the will of God. When you're born again, baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to find yourself getting richly invaded with the Word of God. Get the Word of God in your heart. Memorize the Word of God. Memorize it? Yes. Find verses. Find things that you're concerned about. Find things that you want to see breakthrough in. Get those verses and memorize them, and you will see incredible breakthroughs in your life. This is a violent tool of the Spirit in the hand of a believer. Can I get an amen? All right, so look now, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by instruction of God. It is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped in every good work. What is the Word of God for? To get you thoroughly equipped in every good work. The Word of God is going to cause you to grow up. It's going to get doctrine in your life. It's going to cause you to be productive. Say, I need more of the Word. Shout it louder. Your neighbor couldn't hear you. I need more of the Word. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. I'm looking for the will of God. So if I get my mind renewed, I'll be able to prove the perfect, the acceptable will of God. Woohoo! Well, how do I renew my mind, Pastor? I'm glad you asked me. Ephesians 5, verse 26, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the word. Jesus is going to give you the word. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, said, sanctify them by the truth. My word is truth. Jesus gave us the word. If you're going to grow up, if you're going to renew your mind, you need to get into the word of God. Say amen, Pastor. 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe. These things I have written to you who believe. That was John writing Holy Scriptures. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Why did you write it? That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You see, the Word of God was written for believers so that they may grow in their knowledge of Him, the knowledge of their salvation, and the knowledge of what this glorious plan is that He's won for us. Reading the Word of God will not save you. But reading the Word of God will reveal to a saved individual the benefits and the blessings that they now have. You don't have Father, Son, and Holy Book. You don't grow up just by reading your Bible. Or the seminary professors and the Hebrew synagogue teachers, they should be so far ahead if just reading the Word of God would change you. It's not reading the Word of God. It's believing the Word of God. It's having the Spirit of God in you, illuminating the Word of God. And then it's doing the Word of God that changes your life. Thank you, Pastor. 1 Peter 1:22 to 23, since you have purified your soul by obeying the truth. When you're born again, what's born again? Your spirit is born again. What is not born again? Your soul is not born again. Tell me, when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, did you go to your car and your car suddenly turn and say, I got born again today. I got a new way home. It's so awesome. I'm never going to blow a tire. I'm going to be there for you all the time. Your car doesn't get born again. Your car is just your car. When you go home, your refrigerator doesn't automatically reject Cheetos, corn chips, and all other foolish things. Your refrigerator will still take popsicles and all kinds of stupid stuff because you put it in there. Your mind is something you've got to care for. Your will has to be directed. Your emotions are something you're in charge of. They don't get born again. Your spirit got born again. Now you have a responsibility to direct your life, to get your mind full of the purposes of God, to get your emotions aligned with God, and to get your will established, totally submitted, and directed to God. But it says, since you have purified your soul, how? By obeying the truth. How do you renew your mind, Pastor? If you renew your mind, you will know the perfect pleasing will of God. How do I do that? The Word of God. The only instrument that God gave you to deal with that is the Word of God. You need to be enriched with the Word of God if you're going to realize and do the will of God. Amen, Pastor. Hebrews 4, 1 to 2. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Why is that important, Pastor? Because the word of God will go right to the very center of your being, and it will separate the areas where there's mixture in your life, areas where your soul is impinging on the redeemed spirit, areas where an unrenewed mind is trying to dictate what a renewed spirit is walking in. It will divide those areas. It'll divide the unrenewed mind. It'll renew that mind, and it'll allow your spirit to reign and rule. It'll allow a born-again spirit hooked up with God to deal with every issue in your life and direct you in every area of your life. And the Word of God is what will cause that separation. If you can't get fear, I'm born again, but I continue to fear. You know what's going to do that? Perfect love casts out fear. Where'd you find that, Pastor? In the Word of God. See, if you got fear in your life, you're a believer, and you're going, I don't even know if I'm a believer now, because why should I fear? Fear would be sinful. Maybe I'm not a believer, because I'm constantly fearing. What you need to do is your born-again spirit is born again, but your soul is unrenewed. And your soul is continuing the same old patterns that it used to do, but your soul needs to be purified. Your soul needs to be redeemed. Your soul will only be touched when you let the Word of God realign your mind. Then you will know and test and approve what is the perfect, pleasing will of God. The Word of God is so vitally important, and I'm going so fast. How many know I'm going really fast? How many can tell I'm going really fast? How many know I've got one more minute, and my 20-minute sermon turned into a half an hour? Hallelujah. Here we go. All right, so let's see. John chapter 8, 32. This is good stuff right here. Then Jesus said to those who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So you need to know the word. Jesus said you need to abide in my word. John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Abiding in the Spirit and getting the Word of God are so important. Jeremiah 1:12, for I am alert, active, watching over my word to perform it. Psalm 103:20, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. What do the angels do? They do the word of God. So when you confess the word of God, guess what you do? You activate the angelic realm. When you confess the word of God, angels respond to the voice of his word. The voice of his word, the voice, your his word on your mouth is the same. Reiner Bonnke said this. He said, your his word on your mouth is the same as his word on his mouth. So when you voice his word, angels respond. Now the word of the Lord is written so it might be spoken. That's the reason it's written, so you can speak it, so that you can declare it. See, God is a speaking spirit. God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be job. Yeah, that doesn't work though, Pastor. You know, you see, this has got to be mixed with faith. You see, the word did not work for them because it did not mix it with faith. But you know what? The word always works. Let there be job. Let there be clients. Let there be breakthrough. Let there be peace. If you've got something going on in your home that ain't right, let there be peace. I command peace to come in the name of Jesus. See, God spoke, let there be light in the chaos. I mean, there was chaos. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. We also are speaking spirits. I have the same spirit of faith. Therefore, I speak. What do I speak? The word of God. You speak the word of God, you'll get a result. Now listen, listen now, the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. If you're going to do warfare, if you're going to, you know, see change, what is the word of God? The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It's the sword the Spirit wields. If you don't have the word, nothing for the Spirit to work on. We're coming to a rapid conclusion. How many are getting anything out of this speed talking? Really? Man, that's awesome. Because I've just got half a page to go. Listen, the first thing the enemy attacks, when you become born again, the first thing that the enemy attacks is he wants to keep you from the word. You become born again, it's all good, you're all happy, then you start getting in the word, and he's going to resist everything right there because he tries to get you out of the word. It's the first attack. Genesis 3:1, here's what the enemy said right at the start. Did God really say? He attacks the word of God. He attacks the integrity of God. Did God really say? Right away, I'm doing this because God told me to. Then 3 years later, nothing's manifesting. Did God really speak to me? I rebuke you, Satan. 1 Samuel 13, 19, it says that the Philistines took all the blacksmiths out of Israel so that they could not make any swords. That's what the enemy does. He tries to take the word of God out of your hands so that you cannot have the sword of the Spirit and exercise authority. Mark chapter 4, verse 15, it says, when the sower goes and he sows the seed, what is the seed? The seed is the word of God. What happens right away after the word of God is sown? The very first thing that happens is Satan comes, it says, immediately to take away the word. What does he come to take? The word. Why? Because the word is going to cause a breakthrough in your life. If you want to know the will of God, I want you to be rich in the word. Propaganda. Propaganda is a system of propagation of doctrine or cause of information reflecting views, interests, those advocating a doctrine, cause, ideas, rumors, or deliberately spreading widely to help or to harm a person, group, movement, or institution, nation. Propaganda, Pastor. Where'd we go with the what? Propaganda? Yes, the enemy is full of propaganda. If you want to take over a nation, you try to take over the radio stations. You try to take over the airwaves. That's why Chavez and people like that in some of those nations, they try to take over the TV stations and they try to control the media. A lot of nation changers trying to control the media. That's why the media should be free and not lined up one way or the other. But you see, the enemy is the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air, he tries to control the airwaves, he tries to lie to you, and he sets up propaganda against God. We were dead in trespasses and sins once you walked in, but now we are free. You used to walk according to the prince of the power of the air, but now the Spirit works in us, the same Spirit that worked in sons of disobedience, but now we're free from that. Now we're finishing. You ready? I had to give it all to you, or I would have gone home with a headache. Football doesn't start till 3, so we're all right. All right, here we are, the last verse. Last verse, Joshua 1. And by the way, the Maple Leafs are in first place. Hey, I was interceding hardcore last night. It was good. It was awesome. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it, that you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall deal wisely, and you shall have good success. Look at all the yous in there. You shall, you may, you shall, you shall, you. You get the word of God, and you will make your way prosperous. You will make your way successful, because the word of God is powerful stuff. All right, look at that. How does it work, Pastor? I'm glad you asked me. It works like this. Meditate, revelation, and activation. Meditate, hugga, get the word. How do I do this? How do I make it work? Get the word, meditate on it. That word hugga is the same word that's used for a cow chewing its cud. You know, a cow's got a whole bunch of stomachs. He regurgitates. It's all fun stuff anyways. But that's how you hugga the word of God. You meditate on the word of God. You chew on the word of God. When you chew on the word of God, suddenly, boop! You get revelation. And then when you got revelation, you go, whoa, I know it now. And then poof, you activate, you loose your faith, and bang, you speak, and you walk out the revelation of God. There you go. That was good. That was. There's probably 500 sermons in here, but I'm giving you all right now. All right, here's an example really quick just to send you on your way. Here's an example. You ready? How does it all work, Pastor? All right, put it up there for me. I think it's there. Example, being born again. How does it work being born again? Well, you heard something, and you began to ponder that. And in pondering that, you start to get revelation that I think this is right. You came into agreement with that. You confessed that you agreed with that, and you were saved. You know what? That process is how it works every day. That same process is the same thing. The woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus. She heard people were being heard. She pondered it for a while, and she said to herself, if only I could touch the hem of his garment, I could be healed. It got her out of her home. She went down the road. She came into agreement with the life of God. There was a transfer because she loosed her faith and she was healed. That same way, that meditation, revelation, activation is the way everything will work in your life with the word of God. Are you ready to say amen, Pastor? One more screen and we're done. The word is the one living, active, powerful revelation that God has given you so that you can grow to full maturity. The word is a living, active, and a powerful, powerful thing. The word is God's gift to us to enable us to be conformed to his image. Come on, stand up with me. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for Ray Lewis and the Baltimore Ravens. Amen. Any New England fans here today? Praise God. That's awesome. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Now listen now, maybe you're here and you're saying, wow, wow, that was an amazing service. A whole lot of stuff took place right there. But let me tell you something, you will never ever walk in the fullness of God's purpose for your life if you don't know him. And you can know him today. So just
very, very holy moment right now. Are you ready? If anyone's here today and they don't know Jesus, I want you to know him before you go. And it's very easy. I can lead you to Jesus. It says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. So you believe in your heart and you're justified, confess with your mouth unto salvation. It's a very simple thing. You heard a revelation of his goodness today. You say, I want some. You say, I agree that he's my Savior, and you receive him in your life. So right now, every eye is closed and every head is bowed. Nobody's looking around, so don't worry about it. It's just you and God. Right now, it's the Holy Spirit touching and tugging on your life. In the name of Jesus, if you don't know him and you want to know him, I want to lead you to the knowledge of a mighty God right now. I'm going to say one, two, three. You put your hand up, and I'm going to pray for you. Ready? One, two, three. All over. Raise your hands. Thank you. 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 Just over on this side over here, we got. Thank you. We're going to do it right now. Right now is an amazing day for you because today you're going to be born again. Today you're going to be born from above where the Spirit of God himself, the DNA of God is going to be melded with your DNA and you'll be a new creature. And it's really, really good. So everybody's going to pray, but you pray. You pray out loud. Everybody's going to pray with you. Are you ready? Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died, that you were buried, and that you were raised to life for me. You took my sin, and now I can be free. I confess you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come, baptize me into the body of Christ, in Jesus' name. And now I thank you that my sins are forgiven. I've been born from above, and I am indeed a child of God. Amen.